Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for today is taken from today's gospel, where Jesus said, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So far the text. Boy, you sure get to the sermon quick in Lent, don't you? It's a record. And it's because we cut things out in Lent. You probably noticed that, right? Since I had forgotten to turn my mic on at one point, because I'm so used to that rest of the part, right? All the alleluias and all that. Well, we take those out in Lent because Lent is a penitential season, like Advent is a penitential season. That's why we have the same colors this Advent as we do in Lent. It's a time where we remove certain things so that when Easter comes and the church year comes, then we celebrate all the more. One thing we don't take away, though, in Advent is obviously talking about the second Advent. We remember certainly the first Advent. As the weeks go by, we'll get more into that, where Jesus was born in Bethlehem. But the second Advent is very important, too, because that's a living hope for us today. We're not looking back there at the second Advent, but it's something we're looking forward to. And it's something Jesus says we have to watch for and we have to wait for. None of those things are very easy to do. I think over the years I've gotten a little bit more patient watching for things and waiting for things. Not that much, but some. And when I look back at my childhood in school, in grade school in particular, I can see now that some of the lessons that I was being taught through these little projects were actually intentional, I think, in trying to teach me and the rest of the kids to be patient and to learn to wait and to watch. One project I'm sure everybody's done, okay, is when I was in school, young, probably, I don't know, first or second grade, the teacher gave us each a Dixie cup, okay? You wrote our name on the Dixie cup. We put some dirt in the Dixie cup, and then she gave us, I don't know, some lima beans or something, and we plant the beans, water them, put them in a sunny part of the classroom, and watch and wait every day to see if anything would grow. You all did that, right? Yeah. And as the days would go by, a little shoot would come up, right? And it would grow more, and then there'd be a leaf on it, and pretty soon you'd have a whole plant. And I was just amazed at this. It was like a miracle to me. And I'm saying, this is something I can do, right? So I went home, and I didn't get one Dixie cup. I got three Dixie cups. I was going to farm, okay? Three Dixie cups, right? And I put some dirt in them. And I didn't put one bean in there. I put two beans in each one, okay, watered it, put it in a sunny part of my room, and waited for the growth to come, and it never did. And it was week after week after week, and never came. Until finally, frustrated, I just kind of dug into it to see what was there, and there was just this brown goop where the seed was planted. Of course, the problem was I didn't put a bean in there. They were baked beans I put in there, okay? Didn't really understand this. This is your pastor. I used to think that way. But yes, I put two baked beans from a can of baked beans in there, expecting that to grow. Well, nothing's going to happen with baked beans. It doesn't work that way. Now, for 2,000 years, the Christian church has been preaching that Jesus is returning. Trust me, everybody's heard it. But for most people, that promise amounts to the same as planting a baked bean. Nothing is ever going to come from it. Now, we are people of Christ. We know he's coming back. We trust he's coming back. And so when we're called to watch and wait, we have to ask ourselves, how can we watch and wait, and how do we watch and wait? I think it's kind of interesting how Jesus kind of has a little contradiction here just to confuse the disciples a little bit at the end. where he gives this illustration of, you know, there's a, you know, if a man knows the thief's coming, he's going to be ready. And then he says, so you must be ready for when I come. And then he says, because when I come, you're not going to be ready. Okay, well, that's kind of rough. So again, we look at this illustration, right? A man, an owner of a house, if he knows the thief is coming, he will be prepared. And we say, that's great. We know Jesus is coming, then we can be prepared. See how easy that is? Of course, there's a little difference here. If I know a thief is coming to my house tomorrow, I will be prepared and vigilant. If I know a thief is coming some night in the next 15 years, I will be vigilant and I'll probably have a nervous breakdown. See, it's not a big help. And with the disciples, it wasn't 15 years, it's 2,000 plus. Every day you must be prepared for that coming. I think that what makes it helpful is we have to understand the illustration he uses here, right? It's a thief coming to rob you. Now, from my perspective, that's a bad thing. Jesus coming to take us home, that's a good thing. And we should approach waiting in that, because of that hope, in a much different way. Take, for example, say there's a man who he's not married and he has no friends. He is completely and totally alone in this world. One day someone comes up to him and says, I guarantee you someday you're going to meet the right person and you're going to get married and you'll be never alone again. And for some reason, this man trusts that promise. Now, until that day comes true, he's still going to be lonely. But the loneliness does not have the last word. Because every day he can wake up and say, maybe today is the day. The loneliness does not have the last word. The promise does. And the hope in that promise does. And that just defines everything. And that's how we can wait for our coming Savior. It's going to be a surprise for everybody. Jesus makes that abundantly clear. But for us, it's going to be a good surprise. For us, when he comes and we see him, we're going to say, I knew it was today. No, we won't say that, okay? But we will say, I knew he was coming back. Now, another question is, how do we wait? It's unfortunate that this lesson cuts a little short because in the lesson we have here, Jesus says, watch and wait. And then in the verses following, he kind of gives us a hint on how we do that. He gives an illustration about the owner of a house who leaves his servant in charge so that he can feed his other servants. And when he comes back and he's feeding his servants, he will bless and praise him. In other words, what does Jesus describe the person doing? It's not someone selling everything they have, going to Jerusalem and sitting on the Mount of Olives waiting for Jesus to come back. Or getting a telescope and looking for him to come back. Or standing on the corner by Bi-Mart and screaming out, repent for the end is near. Which about 10 years ago I used to see on a weekly basis out there. That's not what Jesus describes. He describes someone waiting for the coming return of the Master as someone who's simply feeding somebody. Serving someone. And that's key. While we wait, what do? We love our families, we work our jobs, we care for our friends and our neighbors, and we tell the good news. And we don't do this so that when Jesus comes back and we're not doing it, he'll say, I gotcha. You know, that's not why we're doing it. We're doing it because we're filled with hope in his return. And if you don't think that makes a difference, look at the world around us. Where people live completely self-centered lives, where they only serve themselves, where they only live for today because there is no tomorrow, and they basically live lives slightly better than animals. But that's not the way it is with us. Noah is mentioned by Jesus here in this gospel, and the generation of Noah was like that. In fact, even worse. Because it got to such a point where God finally says, that's it. I have to wipe everything clean, almost, and start again. The entire society was self-centered and self-serving. And that's the context in which Noah lived. He lived in that chaos, and yet what did Noah do? He worked his job. That's building the ark. He loved his family. And he told people the news. By the way, when it says here, when finally the flood came, it was unexpected. Noah had been preaching about it for 100 years, or more than 100 years. They knew it was coming. They had heard it was coming. They just didn't believe it. The context in which we live is just a chaotic one as the one that Noah did. It's one of lawlessness, of one of self-service, and that's it. And yet, while we live within that context, we are not part of it. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ and the promise that he's given us. The promise that he's given us, we work our jobs. We love our families. We care for those around us and we serve others. And we tell, not news like Noah, which wasn't good, but we tell the best news of all. That God loved the world enough to send his son to become one of us, to die for all of us. That Jesus rose from the dead and lives today, and he has promised to return and take us home. That's a promise, and the hope that looks towards that promise just defines our entire lives. When you ever see a young couple that's about to have a child, their first child, you say they're expecting, right? And that couple will not really know what day that baby's going to be born. Well, you can narrow it down, but you never know, right? And they don't really know how it's going to work out. I was sure I knew how my two kids were going to be born. Boy, I couldn't have been more wrong. And I couldn't even imagine how they were born. They don't know any of those things. They know something great is coming. And so what do? They prepare, right? Get the baby book. Pick out a name. Think about schools. Think about how you're going to be the perfect parent and never make a mistake. See? And if you plan ahead, that's possible. Yeah, they do all these things, but what do they also do? They love each other, they care for each other, they support each other, they serve each other as they look forward to that day. That's what it is to be expecting. I pray that the Lord lead us to live lives of expectation just like that, lives of joy as we look forward to our Savior taking us home. In Jesus' name, amen.